It's all about you. What a great worship song this morning, huh, guys? Wow, we were definitely serenaded and blessed to hear a song so harmonically and carefully laid out. Worship songs are so great. I always told people there's definitely a difference between worship songs and Christian songs. Both God loves very, very much. But worship songs go so deep and they tend to be a lot longer and very repetitive, but they don't feel repetitive. You know what I mean? Like if I was to sing like a secular song and say the same thing over and over and over again, you'd get tired of it. But when you're singing a worship song and you say, I could love you forever, I could love you forever, and you just keep singing it over and over again, it doesn't feel repetitive because it has so much meaning and it's so pure and it's what you want to do. I mean, I don't think you could, if God came down in the flesh today, I don't think that you could tell him enough how much you love him. I don't think you could hug him enough. I think you would feel like you're being annoying to God. And you'll see I titled the show today, Blessed Are Those. And I think it comes from a movie my wife was watching last night when I went to bed. She was watching Pure Flix. And I can't remember, it's a show, it's episodes, and it's kind of like Highway to Heaven in a way, where every episode is a different family or a different group of people in a different community that needed, you know, an angel's help or God's help. So, you know, Michael Landon would go as an angel to that town. Well, in this series on Pure Flix, God himself is showing up in different people's lives. Like people that believe in him and pray to him, he's showing up to where it feels like he's in the flesh with them. But really, they either are sleeping, they're daydreaming, they had a heart attack and they're in the hospital. Whatever it is, God shows up in their life. And you know, kind of guides them through it and coaxes them through it as if he was right there. And there was this one scene where this one guy had a heart attack or a stroke, or I think it was a stroke. And while he was in the hospital and they thought he was dying, he obviously was speaking directly with God. And he's pleading to God, God, I thank you for bringing me here to talk to me, but I don't feel like I'm done with my life yet. I feel like there's much more I can do. I'll even go to church. And God said, okay. And he's like, okay. And he's like, okay, all right. And then he's back in his body and he gives him an opportunity to go to church, change his life, you know, bring the Bible in his life. And he's trying and he really is, but he's not making great strides, but he's making small strides. And there's a moment towards the end of the episode where he goes out by a park bench and all of a sudden he starts feeling woozy again. And he's like, oh, and he slips back into it. And God is sitting on the park bench and he's like, what did I do wrong? And he goes, am I dead this time? And I, what did I do wrong? I went to church. I'm reaching out to others. I'm talking about you. I'm reading my Bible. And then he stops and he goes, well, I intend to read my Bible. And he's making all these excuses. And he's like, I'm just so sorry. What did I do wrong? Did you bring me back? Am I completely dead now? Like, what's going on? And God's sitting on a park bench with his arm, like up on the park bench like this, a pair of sunglasses on. And he says, no, you're fine. You're fine. No, you're not dead. I just wanted to spend some time with you. And he goes, And do what? What do you need to teach me? Whatever it is you need to teach me, I'll learn. And he says, sit down. Just sit here with me. So the guy sits down and he's all nervous and he's like, okay. And he's like, what do you want to, what'd you bring me here for? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to tell me? What do I need to do? And he goes, nothing. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to relax with you. I just want to sit here on this bench and I want you to know joy and peace and just sit here and enjoy each other's presence. I truly just want to hang out, spend some time with you. And the guy, and obviously what that was a like an analogy of just find a quiet spot and spend it alone with God. That's what he wants. So the guy's sitting there and you can tell he's all anxious and he's sitting there and God just kind of turns his head back towards the nature of the park and he's just taking it in. And so the guy who's there, it's not a movie, it's actually episodes. I'll get the name of it. I can't remember the name of it. So the guy, after he realizes that he didn't do anything wrong and he's not in trouble and he didn't die and there's no existential threat to anything for why he's there, that God just wanted to spend time with him. So what he does is he starts mimicking God's movement. He looks at God and he sees that God's got his arm up on the bench and he's kind of slouched and relaxed. So this guy does the same thing. He kind of copies him. He puts his arm and he just adjusts it just right, just so he can, you know, do what God's doing. And he kind of slouches like God. He settles in and closes his eyes for a minute and then opens his eyes and looks at God again and closes his eyes a minute. And then you see him just relax. And after about 2 or 3 minutes of this very awkwardness of him trying to just sit down and enjoy God's presence, he finally starts feeling it. And then he kind of smiles. You know, he goes from being anxious like this, and then he just smiles, and he closes his eyes, and his head kind of rests, as if he's kind of like falling asleep, but he's not. He's just enjoying God's presence. And then it pans out from behind him, and God's not really sitting on the park bench with him. He's literally this anxious man who's always going 100 miles an hour, is just sitting there on the park bench by himself in the flesh with God in spirit, and he's just enjoying God's presence. And I thought, wow, what a message. What a blessing it is to get that message. And what a blessing it is that God, the creator of all things, that's got a billion trillion things he's doing, wants to carve out time to sit on a park bench with you and enjoy each other's presence and know peace. I'm telling you, man, how blessed are we? So, that is why I titled today's show, Blessed Are Those. And I will ask you to go to your emails because I sent you an email out of the email list this morning. And for those who aren't getting the email list, we used to have about 4,000 or 5,000 more people belong to that email list. Don't know what happened to them. But all you have to do to join up for this email list, that you're going to start getting a lot more behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot more discounts on the store when the store comes back, is just go to jeremyharrell.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and sign up for the Revolution newsletter. So I have to ask you, we don't even have 1,000 people in here this morning. I know it's summer. I know people are doing things. It would be still nice to have everybody in here, our whole audience for Rise Up, but it'll come back. But I'll ask you this, 1,000 of you are in here as we get ready for prayer. Do you feel blessed? Now, if you don't, it's okay. You're not like not a Christian or a bad person. I want you to really examine that question And I want you to answer it in the live chat if you feel strong enough to do so. Do you feel blessed each and every day of your life? Overheard says, I'm so blessed. Jana says, yes. Janine Murphy says, I do feel blessed now and I'm loving it. Amanda says, I even forward them and print them out and give them away. She's talking about the newsletter. Good job, Amanda. You are doing a wonderful job for the Lord. Jay Gizme, yes. Sherry, yes. River Rat, I feel totally blessed. Faith, I feel, yes, blessed and relaxed with God. Look at all the yeses. I'm looking to see if there's any no's because I want to ask God to bless you and allow you to feel it, because when you feel blessed, you feel very grateful. You feel very grateful. And folks, we always talk about, you know, a lot of the bad things that we're doing or the bad things that we're involved in or the things that we need to change our ways. But do we ever just sit in God's presence on that park bench and just feel absolutely blessed beyond all measure? Mary says, I'm still looking for mine, Jeremy. Your blessings or your newsletter? Because I'll tell you what, Mary, I feel blessed that you're in the chat. Like, every name that's in here talking, like, you don't even understand. I'd say to myself, where would I be without Patriot Patty? Where would I be without Mary? Where would I be without Caramore? Where would I be without I'm Sullivan and New Life Diane? Where would I be in my spiritual journey with Jesus without you? To me, it's such a blessing to have all of you here. It's such a blessing to be able to do this. It's a blessing that I was able to move away from New Hampshire, spend all our life savings to do so, and, you know, things are the way things are, but, and be able to salvage enough stuff from the other studio, purchase a couple new things, and be able to have a studio here and a studio there in New Hampshire. By the press of a button, look, Iowa, New Hampshire, Iowa, New Hampshire. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that my daughter, whom I've been like peanut butter and jelly with my whole life, Shaylin, is now watching her dad's journey with Jesus live every day with you guys. That is, it's from compared to the way I grew up. Blessings are so, so abundant. And when you feel the blessings, then you can feel grateful. You can literally go drop to your knees and cry and go, thank you. I'm going to tell you something. Two of my children defied, I guess, chances and percentage. If you look at things at a percentage point and go, what are the percentage of kids who get into this program? Or what are the percentage of kids who make it onto this competition level team? Two of my kids in the last week accomplished amazing things where the odds were against them. And both times I dropped to my knees here at the studio when nobody was here and cried out to the Lord, thank you so much. I am literally the least deserving person on planet Earth to feel so many blessings, and I get them daily. Like, so many. So many. And if God brought me home today or tomorrow or the next day, I would be so grateful for the time that he gave me. Fun Mom says, my six-year-old is intently watching right now. Somebody said there's a birthday in the house. Whose birthday is it? Can somebody let me know so I can sing happy birthday? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, today we are just so grateful for your blessings. We're so grateful that you cover us in such warmth and grace and the salvation that you give us through what your Son, Jesus Christ, did, our Savior. And the fact that you even lend us the Holy Spirit to guide us daily is a blessing. Lord, for all those who don't feel blessed right now, please weigh it on their hearts. Let them accept the blessings. A lot of the times, the reason why people don't feel blessed is because they're not accepting the blessing. Receive and accept the blessing today. And Lord, please help everybody feel that way. And for everything that you've done for me, my family, and the LFA family, the Slurp Fund, the ability to be able to do what we do on such a tiny budget, barely scraping by, but enough to do what we're doing. Lord God in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Barb Naylor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barbara. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my love. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day, dear. I really do. And I also ask for prayers for MDUSMC77. That God will answer his prayers and allow the VA to pay him back so him and his family aren't experiencing more hard times, more trials. I've said it a billion times, guys. If I was a billionaire today, I would be a millionaire tomorrow, and I would be a thousandaire the next day. If I myself had the ability, the financial ability, to bring everybody out of any kind of financial situation or poverty that I could come across, I would. I would, because to me, oh, that is the eternal gift right there, right? To be able to help somebody like that. Is it also Jessica's birthday too? Happy birthday, Jessica, as well. God bless you. Please open up your verses of the day today, if you will. Jana says, me too, Jeremy. Me too. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? It is for me. Like, don't get me wrong. I'd like to have some money in the bank so I don't have to struggle or worry about what I have to, you know, when I have to spend stuff on. Obviously, I'd put some away in savings if I was a billionaire. But, oh, man, would so many people have a lot easier of a life if I was. God is going to give you everything you have coming, MDUSMC, says River Rat. Amen. Jeremy, just a reminder, you asked me to remind you to call little David tomorrow for his belt ceremony. Do me a favor, Kalia. Send your phone number to us. You know how to get a hold of us. Because tomorrow, I'll be working out of the studio covering the Trump rally. So I'll be right here and I'll be able to do that, okay? Give it my best. All right, please open your newsletters today, and we'll get right to the verse of the day. Verse of the day today is going to come from Matthew 5, 1 through 12. So if you could all go there for me now. Again, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. We have 1,100 people watching halfway through the program today. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much. Let me see how many rumbles we have. That'll tell me what we're really doing. We have 1,100 people watching, but we only have 275 rumbles. That means that either 800 or 900 people just don't really care about clicking that thumbs up for us, or that many people don't have profiles. And I will ask you, and I've asked so much, and I'll keep asking if I have to, please build a profile. And if you don't want to do anything but give the thumbs up, that's okay, because that allows us to be spread to so many other people just by a simple thumbs up. MDUS is facing financial trouble, and he's donating $10. I am blessed to have you all. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that I how can you not feel blessed by that? MD, God bless you, man. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Let's get through it. Seeing the crowds, Yeshua walked up the hill. After he sat down, his Talmidim came to him and began to speak. And this is what he taught them. Race Mom, thank you so much as well. God bless you. Thank you, Race Mom, for the donation on Rumble Rants. Now, I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible this morning, so it may look or sound a little different than whatever version that you guys have open, okay? How blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. MDUS. You're not poor in spirit, but like so many, you're poor in finances. And if you are strong in spirit and poor in finances, or if you are strong in finances, believe in God, but are poor in spirit, God is going to get you to focus on that spirit and take you away from your focus of the money. Blessed are those who actually accept and follow that guidance. We ask, who are the blessed? I would say 99% of you in here said that you felt like you were blessed every day, correct? Who are the blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So let's stop right there. Somebody said they didn't get their newsletter. Check all of your folders, okay? Let's stop right there. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What are we doing right here? We're hungering and we're thirsting for righteousness because we are giving our finite fleshly time to seek God's wisdom and to seek the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those. That's all of you. Now, if you were one of those people that say, I don't feel blessed, take a breath right now for me. If you're one of those people who don't feel like God is blessing you, do me a favor and do this. Now do me another favor. Look at the live chat. Thank you, Kalia. Rich in love and blessed by Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, you and little David. Look at the live chat. Can you see it? Whether you're signed in or not, whether you're part of the mission or not, can you see it? Because if you can, you're blessed. Can you hear what I'm saying right now? Because if you can, you're blessed. Did you eat within the last 24 hours? Because if you did, you're blessed. Have you drank anything in the last 24 hours? If you did, you're blessed. Do you have a cell phone or a computer that you're watching this right now on? Or a TV? Because if you do, you're blessed. Last night, we sat down to eat dinner at my table at home. And I saw everybody sitting around the table basically eating what they wanted to eat out of the dinner because, you know, we have a couple picky kids. Of course you do in America. And I sat and looked around the table and I said to my kids and my wife, feel blessed. Because do you know that more people in this world than not are starving to death right now? That's an actual factual statistic, folks. More people in this world are starving to death right now or don't have clean water and are dying of thirst and hunger than there are people who are not. Talk about statistics. We get to be on the blessed side. Thank you, Miranda Dolan. God bless you. Isaiah 41:10. Amen, girl. Amen. And when you think of it like that, when you see yourself engaging in something that most people cannot, and we just go, oh, it's just food. Yes, Jeremy, very rarely I'll eat together anymore. 300,000 people in Iowa don't know where their next meal will come from. That's right here in Iowa. Mary, if you don't have a newsletter anywhere, then you probably were automatically unfollowed. That's probably where most people, why most people aren't getting their newsletters. Just go back to jeremyherald.com and sign up again. I don't know where, it's like socks in a dryer. You don't know where they go, right? All the time, God is good, and God is good all the time. Let's move on. How blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. How blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If you can purify your heart from the inside out, which I'm still working on, you won't just hear and feel God, you'll see him. Just like that show I was talking about. What's that say? What wild root? No what today? No Eli today? Yeah, Eli's there. But he never comes on Rise Up. He's too busy getting the mornings together for the network. How blessed are those who make peace, for they will be called sons of God. How blessed are those who are persecuted because they pursue righteousness, Trump? For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And I would much rather have the kingdom of heaven reserved for me than a spot in D.C. Amen? How blessed you are when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of vicious lies about you because you follow me, says Jesus. Rejoice, be glad, because your reward in heaven is great. They persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. Selah. So if you were wondering, am I a blessed individual? Yes, you very much are. Because most of you probably fit most of these. Jeremy, everything you just mentioned, they say if you have all, that a roof over your head and a bed to sleep in, you are among the top 10 richest people in the world. Amen. So when you look at your children at the dinner table, and you say, make sure that you ask God for forgiveness because he has blessed you with so much. You are better than more than half of the world right now. You are in a better position than more than half of the world right now. So if there's anybody out there that says to themselves, oh, I'm just unlucky and isn't that just my luck and It's not going to happen for me. Nothing is going to happen for me. I keep seeing the name Rami. Rami, we love you. Thank you for joining in. I'm not sure why I keep seeing your name, but God bless you. Lifting you up in prayer right now, says Casey, God is with you. Ramel, seek the Lord and lay it at his feet. Amen. It's the only thing you can do to move forward. It's truly the only thing you can do. So if you don't feel blessed and you feel like you're the one that's always, you know, getting the tail end of the deal and everybody uses you for a punching bag, feel blessed, because God says that all of these people and all of these things that happen, all these characteristics about yourself cause you to be blessed. I mean, is this not a blessing? Is this not a blessing? Look at the skies. Look at the sun. We're so blessed. T. Mitchell has joined in. How you doing, T. Mitchell? You're gonna want to go back and watch this one. I'll tell you that. Let me read a couple devotionals here for you from my books, and then we'll get right into Comfort Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It's already Friday, isn't it? Let's get into this. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Reward. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Is there anything better than that? Thank you, Kong. God bless you, man. Really appreciate your help. Luke 6:35. Love your enemies and do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Are we? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that he exists, and they must believe that he rewards those who look to him. Oh, my God, the source of my joy and happiness, let my hope be set fully on you and the salvation that you bring with you to reward those who have diligently and earnestly sought you. Let me not serve or act in this life for the short-sighted benefits. The everlasting reward of your grace and favor are like the rarest gemstones in comparison. I look to you and your reward and glory in the benefit you have promised to bestow in the day of your coming. How does it make you feel knowing that God will reward you for your diligence? How does it feel? I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't feel grateful for what God will do for me because of my diligence. I feel grateful right now, every second of every day, for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. I'm not just going, I'm going to be diligent so I can get a reward. I've already got a reward. My reward are 5 beautiful children. My reward is to be alive and healthy. My reward is a beautiful, wonderful other half that I am bound with for the rest of my life, my wife. I am blessed with the fact that I could move back home to be where my family is, where I grew up. I am blessed because I am a troublemaking, sinning jailbird who literally got his life turned around and given a second chance because of Jesus, who was died on the side of an interstate and was reborn the same place I died, and have an ability and a chance and the skills and the courage that God's given me all of to be able to unapologetically be a megaphone and, as Bad Moon would say, a billboard for God. Is there anything better? Do I need to be thankful for anything else? Jeremy, this is to help out my monthly tithe. May God multiply it by 1,000. Carla with the $100 reward. We love you. We thank you so much. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to run us out the rest of today's show, it is Comfort Friday, and we've got a Ray Comfort gem for you today. He pulls up on this kid who was mad at God in a park. Roll it.
I think I'm mad at God right now.
What are you mad about? This is really honest of you. I appreciate that.
I just hope that I'm a good person.
Do you know how to find out?
How do you find out?
Just look at the Ten Commandments and see if you've broken them or kept them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no is the word. What's the biggest killer of drivers in the U.S.?
I don't know.
Trees.
Trees.
Lining the highways of America are millions and millions of trees. And if you go off a highway and hit a tree, tree doesn't move, you do into eternity. And that's an old statistic. Could it change to texting? Do you drive?
I do drive.
Ever read texts while you're driving?
I do.
It's pretty hard not to, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was so enticing. So you're a risk taker, is that right?
Maybe.
So you think the pleasure's worth risking your life? Seeing what the text is, you're risking your life looking down at it.
Probably not the text, not the text.
No, it's not worth it, is it? What's the biggest risk anyone can ever take in their life? I think it's saying there's no hell.
There's no hell.
And do you believe in hell?
I do believe in hell.
You believe in heaven?
Yeah.
What's the criteria? What do you have to do to get to heaven?
Be a good person.
And what do you have to do to get to hell?
Be a bad person.
So what's you?
I just hope that I'm a good person.
Do you know how to find out?
How do you find out?
Just look at the Ten Commandments and see if you've broken them or kept them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no is the word.
That makes me nervous.
So which commandments have you broken?
Thou shalt not steal. Is that a commandment?
Oh, yes. That's number 8.
Thou shalt not. Let's go down the list. What's number 1?
Number 1 is you shall have no other gods before me. That means God, your creator, demands that he be the focal point of your affections, that you love the Lord your God, the one that gave you life, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you kept the first commandment?
Oh, I'm not a big God person, I don't think.
So who gave you life?
My parents.
And who gave them life?
Their ancestors.
It goes right back to Adam. God created male and female in the beginning and gave them the ability to reproduce after their own kind. So you're not the product of a big bang in space. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes are more intricate than any camera lens that's ever been made by man. Your brain leaves every computer in the dust for what your brain can do. So you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you thankful to God for giving you life?
I'm thankful to the universe.
The universe is what was made. You don't thank the building, you thank the builder. You don't thank the painting, you thank the painter. You don't thank creation, you thank the creator. Why don't you want it to be God that you thank? I think I know.
I think I'm mad at God right now.
What are you mad about? This is really honest of you. I appreciate that.
If God is real, I don't know if he's looking out for everyone.
Is he supposed to do that?
I think God is supposed to love all of his creations.
Yeah. Is he supposed to look after them like a divine butler? You click your fingers and God comes running?
I don't think that's true, no.
It doesn't work like that. You know, he gave you life, and you should be thankful to a point where you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I have.
Instead of thanking him, you've taken his holy name and used it in place of a four-letter filth word beginning with S that we use to describe human excrement. The Bible says that we're in a place of enmity towards God. We're hostile to Him. And the reason we're hostile to God is because we don't like His moral demands. He says it's wrong to lie and steal. He says it's wrong to commit adultery. And we don't like that. And so we're in a state of hostility and use His name as a cuss word. What about that ninth commandment? How many lies have you told in your life?
I couldn't count.
So countless lies. What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
I'm a liar.
Ever stolen something?
I've stolen a lot.
Yeah, so you're a lying thief?
I'm a lying thief.
You still think you're a good person?
I do think I'm a good person.
Now, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I have looked at women with lust.
You had sex before marriage?
I've had sex before marriage.
So here's a quick summation so you can judge yourself to see how you're going to do on Judgment Day. Tara, I'm not judging you, but you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart, who's self-righteous and saying you're a good person when you're not. You're like the rest of us. So if God judges you by those 10 commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I'll be innocent.
Why?
I don't think that I'm a good person and other people aren't. I think that, I don't know.
What are you trying to say? You're trying to justify your own sins?
Maybe I am.
Let me tell you something that will sober you up about this whole issue. The Bible says death is wages. Famous Bible verse says the wages of sin is death. In other words, God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge looks at a murderous criminal who keeps saying, I'm a good person, I'm a good person. I murdered those women, they were just prostitutes, they deserved it. They were the scum of the earth. Judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. This is what's due to you. And Tarrant, sin is so serious to a holy God, He's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. Your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. Because not only have you been unthankful and given yourself to things you know are morally wrong, but you've violated your conscience. That word conscience means with knowledge. Con is with science is knowledge. You've had a judge on the courtroom of your mind saying, this is wrong, you're guilty for doing this, and you've taken no notice. And so you need to come to God and say, God, I've earned my wages. I deserve to go to hell. And that's where you'll end up. If you died today and God gave you justice, you'd be damned. That horrifies me. I've just met you, but I love you. The thought of you going to hell takes my breath away. What were you going to say?
I don't think that I'm going to hell. I think that God knows my heart. I think God knows your heart. I think that God will love us so much that He wants us to go to heaven.
You know what you've just done?
Blasphemy?
No, you've just broken the first and the second of the Ten Commandments. Remember, I'm the Lord your God, you should have no other gods before me, is the first. And the second is don't make yourself a false god. I did it before I was a Christian. I created a god in my image, a snuggly, cuddly god, a god that had no sense of justice and righteousness and truth. One that was an image that I'd created in the imagination of my heart. That God that I believed in didn't exist. He is a figment of my imagination. There's one God, and He warns He's a God of justice and truth and righteousness, and He'll by no means clear the guilty. The scriptures say all liars live their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no idolater, which is someone who makes up a false god, will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you're right about God not wanting us to go to hell. The Bible says He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And He's made a way for your sins to be washed away and for Him to grant you everlasting life as a free gift. Do you know what God did?
What did He do?
You actually know, but because you don't understand it, you don't value it. Have you heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
I have.
Now, most people know that, but they don't know this. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's why He cried out, it is finished, just before He died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays your fine. Even though you're guilty, you say, Terry, a lot of fines here, but someone's paid them, you can leave. And He does that, which is legal. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you and let you live forever because that fine was paid on that cross 2,000 years ago. And after Jesus suffered for our sins, He rose from the dead, defeated death. And if you'll simply repent of your sins and trust in Christ, like a trusted parachute, the Bible promises God will grant you everlasting life. He'll forgive your sins in an instant, not because you're good, but because God's good and kind and rich in mercy. You've been extremely kind to listen to what I've had to say. Are you going to think about what we talked about?
I think about this stuff a lot. I think about what happens after death. I think about what makes a person good. And even though I sin, I think that God gave me that ability to learn. And
are you learning today?
I'm learning every day, and I'm grateful.
Now, are you learning about what you heard? Because I've shared with you the gospel, and the Bible says it's the power of God to salvation. In other words, the gospel, that which you've just heard, is God's means of granting everlasting life to human beings that are worthy of death. And so there's a lot you can learn in life. You can learn how to drive, you can learn how to do this and that, learn how to ski, but that's nothing compared to the knowledge you receive through the gospel, because now you know how you can find everlasting life. Don't be a risk taker. Man, this is your life we're talking about. Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
I would.
Would you sell both for $100 million?
Probably not both.
And you said, probably not. I guarantee if you thought about it, you'd say definitely not. Because what are you going to do with your $100 million? See the world? You won't see a thing. You'll be in blackness for the rest of your existence. If you wouldn't give up your eyes for $100 million, don't give up your soul because of your love of pornography. That gives you great pleasure. But let me leave you with the words of Jesus. He said this, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" That's rhetorical. You don't profit anything if you gain the whole world and lose your soul. And you're going to lose your soul, Terry, if you just continue to sin. Get before the Lord and say, "I've denied your very existence. This beautiful creation with flowers and birds and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the marvels of the human eye, the seasons, male and female, the miracle of childbirth, all these things show the genius of God's hand." And so you know intuitively God exists. It's just straight common sense. So you've offended God. He's willing to forgive you. I'm pleading with you, think about what we talked about, because I love you and I don't want you to end up in hell. Can you hear what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And examine the earnestness of my heart. Why am I talking to you like this? It's because I know this to be true and I really do care about you. So you're going to think about what we talked about?
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Can I give you a book that I've written?
It's not the Bible, is it?
No, I didn't write the Bible.
Okay.
It's a book called Scientific Facts in the Bible, and you'll really enjoy it, and I'll get you something else and give it to you also. You stay here, and I'll see if I can get up, because my knees are bent like this, and when you get to my age, it's hard to get up. Hang on, what did you say?
Like, what makes you know that God is real? Like, what makes you know it's true?
Well, we know God is real by creation, so that's axiomatic, it's obvious. But how do you know the gospel is true? Well, you ask a little kid who believes in a heater, after he touches the heater, if he knows the heat is hot. He doesn't believe the heat is hot, he knows it's hot, because he's touched it. He's moved out of the realm of belief and into the realm of experience. So when you become a Christian, it's an experience. God will transform you on the inside, so you love righteousness. It'll be your own personal miracle. It's a miracle when sin-loving sinners that get delight in that which is sinful and wrong, to be changed overnight to where they love righteousness and love the God that gave them life. And that's the miracle of being born again, transformed by the power of the God that gave you life in the first place. Does that make sense?
Can I ask, how would you define faith?
Well, there's different sorts of faith. Some people think faith is a belief in God's existence. No, we don't believe God exists. We know he exists in the same way you know a painter exists when you look at the painting. The painting is evidence of a painter. You didn't have to see him. Could have died 300 years ago. So when we talk about faith, we're talking about trusting in the promises of God, believing in his promises. Like you exercise faith if you have a heart surgery, you trust your life to a surgeon, or you get in a plane, you trust the pilot with your life, or a doctor, he gives you a couple of pills and you trust your life to that doctor. If you're married and you say to your wife, "I don't trust you, honey," that's going to be the end of your marriage, because marriages are built on trust. If you say to your boss at work, "I don't trust you," you're going to be out of a job soon. So faith means having a belief in someone's integrity. And if we can trust men that let us down, how much more should we trust the God that cannot lie? The Bible says he's without sin and he keeps every promise he makes.
And that's true. He definitely keeps every promise he makes. And that is why we are so blessed day in and day out, ladies and gentlemen. So, wow, we are already there. We're already getting to the end. Wow, that was a quick 1 hour. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'll take you out the same way I brought you in with some good music here. And let me just tell you this. I'm blessed beyond all measure. You're blessed beyond all measure. Together, we are making a difference in this world. And what you and I are doing is definitely bringing more people closer to God, even if just to ask questions. And that's what we're here for. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. Keep God first place, ladies and gentlemen, and make sure you carve out time for him just like that park bench every single day. God bless you guys. Have a good day.